The following podcast contains strong language and is not suitable for young children or workplace environments.
You're listening to FatCast. We've upped our game. Up yours.
So, thanks for joining us here at the second part of the FatCast holiday finanza. Pro tip, spoiler alert, we recorded this at the same time we recorded the first part, but through digital wizardry, we have split it into two parts for
you
listening.
We've traveled through time.
Exactly, exactly. And believe it or not, this was recorded like 3 weeks before you're hearing it, so I don't know who's going to win Survivor. Do you?
Survivor actually just wrapped up.
Really? I don't even know.
My mother-in-law.
Is Survivor even still on?
Okay. Yeah, honestly disappointed.
The girl won.
The girl won.
They all lose. Ooh. They were on Survivor. They're all a bunch of fucking losers anyways.
Oh, man. That was rough. All right. Okay.
Happy holidays.
A lot of Survivor hate there. But today we're going to keep talking about stuff that we liked, some stuff we hated. We're continuing to feature our guest today, who is Coctavian, the moderator.
I'm ambivalent to be here. Yeah.
just gonna throw it out there. If you have a problem with that, you can eat my balls. Hopefully he has banned you on the Board Game Geek. Because you deserved it, you filthy fuck. Learn how to act in public. So moving on. Let's kick it back off into the holiday zone here.
Yeah, we got some more holidays.
Favorite holiday special.
The only movie that I can even think of is The Polar Express because my son watches it.
Movie?
That's
you
really
just cheated.
That's really terrible, by
my
the way.
My son watches it like once a week, every week.
I've heard the audio to The Polar Express movie a significant number of times.
Heard it. I can quote it for you all right now if you want me to.
Hello, little boy.
My favorite Christmas
there
movie,
are no
movies
in this movie,
is A Christmas Story. Hands down, Christmas Story. It's probably the only movie I've seen more, if not probably just as much as Ghostbusters.
I disagree. I'm going to say A Christmas Story is fabulous, and I love it very much. But the best Christmas movie, a Christmas special, which was the category, you fuckers, is...
I don't follow your rules. You follow mine.
The best Christmas movie is National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
You're in the fat cave.
National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
The best Christmas movie is Die Hard.
Die Hard is a good movie.
I did not know that Leonard from Big Bang Theory is Clark Griswold's son in that one.
He was on Roseanne, too.
Yeah, I know he was in Roseanne.
Well, excuse me, I don't know.
Yeah, well, Christmas special, though. For me, it's a tie between the incredibly grim, as we've just discovered, Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that really grim?
It's so grim.
My son got this DVD.
Well, see, I remember watching it when I was a kid.
Great.
I remember watching it when I was a kid and really enjoying it. Then we watched it again last Christmas, and we're like, wow, this is just really depressing. Like, Emmett Otter is just like a poor fuck, and it's like Gift of the Magi for like an hour. And you're just like, damn, Emmett Otter, like, you're a poor motherfucker. He's like, maybe I'll get a potato for Christmas. And you're just like, ugh, Emmett Otter, man, that's some sad shit.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
My boy is going to be so excited when he gets a potato
good,
for
though.
Christmas.
I think the music is really good. And the
I think some
awesome.
Of the music is really good. I think it's great. I mean, it's Jim Anson. It's great.
Yeah.
The River Bottom Nightmare Band.
Yeah, I like those
classic,
guys. Yep.
Classic stuff. I mean, it's good. It's yeah. good. It's just, it was way...
Is that or The Grinch?
It was way worse than I remember it. And way just like, why didn't I like this so much?
How the Grinch Stole Christmas is pretty amazing, too.
I'm going to say Muppet Family Christmas is by far the best. It's really hard to track down now. You can definitely get torrents of it and stuff, so, you know, get that going, because you're not going to pay $100 for a videotape, which is what it's charging now.
Yep.
I'm like, you know, I'm eBay and Amazon and stuff like that. It's amazing. It has all the Muppets. It has the Sesame Street Muppets. They're fucking ridiculous. There's like a turkey trying to have sex with the chicken.
That's what was happening.
And then it really is. And then the Swedish chef tries to cook the turkey, but then gets waylaid by Big Bird showing up. And
of course.
You know, and it's got some Fraggles, and it's, you know, got everybody. And it's got Muppet Babies. And
God damn, do I love Muppet Babies.
Yeah. It's got, this is actually the God genesis damn. For Muppet Babies. This is Muppet Babies, but
actually,
Muppets.
No.
They're not cartoons.
No, yeah, no.
Muppet Babies.
Genesis is actually Muppets Take Manhattan.
Yeah, which is great, too.
Yeah. The original and more effective Occupy Wall Street.
Yeah. But yeah, Muppet Family Christmas is really just, you know, amazing. Start to finish, you just watch it and you can't not smile the entire time.
Yeah.
So it's great.
And I'm kind of lost on just specials, got to be honest.
What about like
Stephen Colbert had a Christmas special.
Rankin Bass? What about the Rankin Basses? Those are all classics, I think. You Go Without a Santa Claus, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Rudolph Shiny New Year. Wow, that's a great one.
Santa Claus Real is Coming to Town. I watched that.
It's a good one.
It sucked.
Really? Oh, I like them all.
It didn't hold up at all.
That's probably one of the worst.
That's
I like Rudolph's Shiny New Year. It's fucking surreal and weird. Rudolph goes to, like, the island, the archipelago of time.
Is it kind of like the...
And, like, he gets a caveman.
Sounds like a Zelda game.
It's fucked up. Yeah, it's fucked up. Rudolph is sailing around on this little boat, and then he's got, like, a whale, and then there's all this crazy shit happening. He's got TikTok the Clock Man, and, like, he gets a caveman sidekick, and then he gets a knight, because he goes there, and then... And there's, like, this vulture that's going to die. It's wild. It's real wild. It has nothing to do with, like, anything.
That sounds way better than the Frosty sequel.
I don't remember that.
It's Frosty's voice by, like, John Goodman.
I also like The Year Without a Santa Claus. That one's a good one. I believe that's the one that has the Hot and Cold brothers.
Your cultural enrichment in this area is much
I'm
much deeper than mine.
I love Christmas. Yeah, you guys don't watch these are these are classics.
Comics. Do you want to talk best comics of the year?
Let's go roll into movies because
movies.
Same thing.
Yeah, same
holiday specials.
Movies, not films. All right, we're not going to talk about films.
Yeah, I may have gone to film school, but I dropped out of film school because I hate films.
Fuck films.
So,
yeah.
Movies of the year.
Yep.
We'll start with ones that, for me, are not actually my pick. I'm going to end with my... I have a tough pick. Well, first, I went with my most disappointing movie of the year.
Yep.
I was really excited. It came out on my birthday.
Yep.
And I was so excited for it. It was like, wow, this is great. It mixes two of my favorite things, funny-ass people and fantasy.
Was this The Help?
No. it's got some of my favorite people, like favorite comedic actors in it. Natalie Portman is amazing and great and everything.
Tense.
And it was the fucking worst. And it was Your Highness. Did anybody else see that?
I saw it in the theater.
I could tell it would be the worst on commercial.
Just the worst.
It was really dumb. I still laughed at it, but
there were a couple moments that were pretty funny, like when he cuts off the Minotaur's dick and wears it as a necklace. That was pretty good.
I like when he loses his animal companion.
Yeah,
I guess I laugh hysterically at that.
Yeah, that's pretty...
I don't know why, but it's just something about, like, the way the camera zooms on his face. They're like, what's wrong? He's like, I lost my animal companion.
Well, he's got his name.
He's real
what's
serious
his name?
About it.
What's his name? His name's, like, Charlie or something.
Yeah,
like,
really Charles or something. I don't remember, but...
It's good. Pat.
Steve. It was Steve. I lost Steve.
It's an iguana.
And he tries to...
There were a lot of really funny ideas, and it just was not executed well at all.
So what did you like?
What I did really like...
Countdown to your favorite.
So what I did really like... Okay, so Planet of the Apes. Rise of the Planet of the Apes. Not my number one pick, but man, that was a fucking great movie, and I was not expecting really good things from it, and it delivered.
Yeah,
it
was my number one.
It was good. My number one. I had to watch it on an airplane to Dallas, so... Not only...
To Board Game Geek Con?
To Board Game Geek Con.
Wow.
Mm.
I was not expecting to have a good in-flight movie. I don't even remember the last time I had an in-flight movie was. And here I look up and
would you fly in Pan Am? Like, fuck.
and there's fucking circus pretending to be a monkey on my TV screen in front of me. So I stopped reading game rules and... Watch this movie, but my one disappointment watching an in-flight movie is all of the anything remotely violent was taken out.
There's some good violence at the end.
I could tell there was some good violence because
some
there's this guy
hanging
from a ledge, and then there's a close cut to
great.
A monkey's face, and then there's just ripples of water, and the guy's disappeared.
It's great. Yeah. Monkeys are like throwing spears and stuff.
It's really good.
Yeah,
it's a really
that sounds
awesome
kind of
movie. I think it does an amazing.
I know.
I think it does an amazing.
They're not throwing spears.
Okay. I think it does an amazing job of taking something that you know, and you're kind of like, how are they going to like reboot? How are they going to do this? Like, this just seems like a poor idea. Like Hollywood, really get it together.
Now, watching Caesar like take over that monkey enclave
is awesome.
It's really compelling.
Yeah, really
like, it's
awesome.
Very, even the cheesy little nods that I liked. We disagreed on this actually. We talked about this on one
cheesy.
Of the first podcasts.
Did they take them out? Did it take you out of the movie?
A little bit.
I thought most
it's
of them...
It's a madhouse. Come on.
I think they were pretty good. They were pretty good.
When they started singing Dr. Zaius, I was not... I didn't get that.
But no, I mean, I think it's great. And I'm totally comfortable with you picking that as your...
That's my
no argument. Another movie that I this is the toss up for me. Super 8, I think, was fucking amazing.
I thought Super 8 was good.
Amazing. I think Super 8 hit me like in the perfect place. It really, I think, it set out to be a classic Amblin 80s, like kid-ish adventure movie, and it does it in a way that is, it's perfect, and it does it in a way that doesn't feel sort of like crass and commercial and sort of cheapening it, like, oh,
forced.
Let's try to get this money, like, let's, let's get all these, like, 30-year-old dudes that grew up on the Goonies
right.
to get excited about this. It feels like a real labor of
genuine.
Love.
Yeah, it was genuine.
It feels like a bunch of people got together that loved, the Goonies and just made a movie that was, sort of in that vein. And it just, it's amazing. I think it's great. It's really great.
It is really great.
I think it's a movie, I think it's a movie that kids in a decade are going to have tattoos of.
Okay. I think that I would be more inclined to pick what I think you're going to say is
What I think is my movie of the year is The Muppets.
It's probably my second. I had a tremendously large smile on my face from start to finish through the whole movie. It's impossible to not just be completely overjoyed watching it.
Yeah. Well, what it is
it's a genuine experience. Feeling of joy.
Unlike every other Muppet movie since probably like 1990 or something.
Yeah.
This is not a movie where the Muppets do something and tell a weird story or whatever.
Right.
Some of them are okay. No. Like I don't hate them all or whatever.
It's about as pointless as their old ones.
This is a Muppet movie, though.
Yeah.
This is in the old, sort of die. This is a Muppet movie. This is just some crazy nonsense. Lots of like sort of old like Borscht Belt like one-liners and ridiculous fourth wall breaking.
I love the fourth wall.
It's amazing. It's you can really tell that everyone involved in it loved the Muppets, got what made the Muppets so great.
Yeah.
And this is sort of like a love letter to Muppets. So both of my favorite movies, actually all three of our favorite movies this year,
were
sort of reboots.
The rap scene by the Oil Tycoon made it worth the price of admission alone.
It's just,
I'm a big fan of the Muppet Barbershop Quartet version of Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Yes, please.
I think even just little touches.
Awesome.
Little touches.
iTunes, I think you can
iTunes,
get that.
iTunes, I got it on Spotify.
The cameos were amazing, too.
Cameos.
I mean,
I didn't realize.
Dave Grohl as like a knockoff animal. Like, how good
is
that?
Impersonator. I didn't realize how genius that was until I told someone. Dave Grohl was in the movie, and he says, oh, yeah, what was he in it? I'm like, he was an animal impersonator. Then it struck me, holy fuck, that's genius.
Yeah.
He's an animal impersonator in real life.
Yeah.
He really is.
It's just great. It's great. I mean, there's so many things in it that you're just like, wow, that was so perfect. Like, who thought of that? Like, what a good job.
Yeah.
Like, that's just great. And, dude, what's the guy's name? The main guy.
Guy from How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah, he was in, Freaks and Geeks.
He's in some good stuff.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote and directed it or whatever. He wrote this, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's one of the main writers and main producers and stuff. And,
Brett McKenzie from Flight of the Conchords did the music.
The dude that did it, whose name I can't remember now, and I feel like a dickhead. Like,
Jason
Segel.
Segel. There you go.
He loves the Muppets. And you can tell
you can
that
tell
he loves
us.
The Muppets. And
tell.
He made this movie because he was like, well, I'm a big movie star. Like, I can kind of do what I want now. I want to make a fucking Muppet movie. And that's what he did. And, like, it comes across as dude just wanted to make a Muppet movie and did it because he loves the Muppets.
Yeah.
He had a Muppet of himself made.
Yeah, yeah. The Manor Muppet is amazing. the main Muppet, his brother, is supposed to be him. And that was the whole thing, was that he wanted to make a Muppet of himself that was a twin. Also, the casting of the Muppets, the fake Muppets, real person.
That was great.
I won't spoil that, but that was great.
It's really funny when you see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also like that we saw it with a bunch of kids. We saw like a matinee, and there were a ton of kids, a ton of parents. And it was me, my wife, and my mom. And there were a whole lot of jokes that just we laughed at.
Yeah.
because kids didn't get it. This was also very much in the old Muppet vein of, kids will watch it and enjoy it, but it's also a lot for adults. There's a lot going
on. Jack Black comes out of his trailer and he's like, hold on, I'm putting my balls on.
Dance.
Thanks, Al.
But yeah, it was, the cluck you.
Yeah, the Cluck You. Yeah.
Oh, it was just people didn't get it. Like, just they, you know, there's a whole ton of like sort of if you're 30 and get pop culture references, like
you're gonna be
there's a lot
you're
of
for
those.
A feast.
There's a lot of those, and it's it's great.
So let's talk about video games before we wrap things up here.
Yeah, more stuff.
Video games is a
we got comics and records too, but video games. We can talk video games first.
Yeah.
So video games, there's a few for me. It's tough to pick because categorically, they're pretty diametrically opposed, some of them, in terms of like what they're bringing and what you're doing. So, I mean, one for me is Batman Arkham City. I don't think that's game of the year, but I think it's amazing.
Yeah,
I mean,
I've got that on my list. I've got it sitting on my shelf, but there's I've got so many hundreds of hours of other games.
I think for me, Arkham Asylum was one of my favorite games.
Arkham City was amazing.
I mean, sorry, Arkham City. Yeah, Arkham City was one of my favorite games when it came out.
Arkham Asylum.
No, Arkham Asylum.
One.
Yeah, Arkham Asylum.
Arkham Asylum was the first.
Yeah.
It was amazing. I'm very excited to play Arkham City.
Yeah. Arkham City is.
This has been
the best game ever. It's more and better.
It's a Batman simulator.
Yeah, it's perfect.
It captures the detective stuff. It captures the. It does a really good job of sort of the open world.
Combat,
like,
everything. Yeah.
The only thing Arkham Asylum failed at were the boss
fights.
Quote unquote fights.
These are a little bit. These are okay. I mean, it's the same kind of thing where it's tough because you know.
The biggest disappointment is just the end when you know, spoilers for Arkham Asylum.
Well, big surprise, you fight Joker.
The Joker fight though is the same as any other boss fight for the most part.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't beaten it yet. I'm about
Arkham
20
Asylum?
Hours in. No.
I'm still talking about Arkham Asylum.
Yeah, Arkham Asylum, Joker.
The Arkham Asylum fights.
Arkham
awful.
City, I've heard.
Arkham City
has improved on
Arkham
that.
Arkham City, I'm about 20 hours in. I haven't completely finished it, but I mean, it's fucking great. I mean, it just is no way. And it's another game like Arkham Asylum. I got 100% on.
Yeah,
like I did everything.
Yeah, I think I'm willing to say that. I mean, the game's already going to get big points for me. Batman and the Joker are the greatest characters ever created.
And this is,
I think I'm willing to say that. I think, like, all overall, Batman and Joker are the greatest characters.
Better than Hamlet.
I will
Fuck
tell you,
Hamlet
in this one,
up the ass
in this
big
one,
rubber dick. All right, he's not Batman.
And slap him to the titties.
Yeah, no.
Had he
Batman,
been Hamlet, he would have handled that whole situation. Had Hamlet been Batman, he would have handled that whole situation.
I'll tell you, this one is much darker. There's some dark shit in it. Like you're cruising around and there's this scene where, you know, you hear all the audio from people announcing things and yelling at you and stuff because it's still going on. The Penguin is fucking around. He has Mr. Freeze's gun. That's no spoiler. He basically starts with it. He has a freeze gun and he's like, you just hear this fucking vocal and he's like, huh, what would happen if I spray this against this cop's hand? Because he kidnapped all these cops. And the cop is like, and then he's like, oh, it freezes his hand. And then he's like, well, what happens if I hit it with a hammer? And then he's like, no, ah! And it's like, you like hear like him like torturing his cop, like smashing his frozen hand off with a hammer. Like, I mean, there's some grim, like Dark Knight Returns level, like really.
I think that's a little out of character for the Penguin. Sorry, I'm going to go into some nerd rage here.
This Penguin is a dark motherfucker. All right. They're all nuts.
Penguin could afford to be a
You walk into dark. Rooms and there's just like, because the thing is, there's the whole gang wars going on, you know, between the different factions within Arkham City. You know, it's very Escape from New York. Very Escape from New York, which is great.
I think they're going for No Man's Land. No Man's Land was a Batman story where Arkham basically, like, through Earthquake, opened up. And then, like, different gangs carved out.
Yeah.
You know, their own territories.
It is. I mean, they made this whole section of the city into a prison. I mean, it's Escape from New York, and you're Batman. I mean, it's basically what happens. And there's all these gangs, but you walk into a room, and there's, like, there's a pile of 30 dead guys. Because Joker's crew took over this region. And so there's all these dudes that are dressed in the gang symbols of, like, the Penguin's crew. And they're just, like, fucking murdered. And then there's, like, random dudes, like, hanging from ceilings, like, as, like, threats to other gangs and stuff. I mean, it's a grim... It is a very grim adult Batman universe.
How shitty would it be to be caught with a couple ounces of pot in Gotham?
Yeah. Well, one whole thing that you're doing is, so there's this whole thing where you're running around in the city, you're running around on the rooftops, and you'll hear stuff. There'll be like audio. And it'll like, and then you can enter detective mode and like pick out the direction it's coming in, and then kind of like look and go that way. And you'll hear audio of dudes like getting like assaulted. And there's like, they're called political prisoners, and it's this whole side mission to like find these dudes and like rescue them. And it's like, there's these dudes who are like, I don't know. And it's like, cause you know, the whole thing is it's kind of bullshit, and dudes are getting thrown in for like political reasons and this and that. So there's like these dudes that are getting like assaulted by like gang members, and you just hear them, and you're running on the rooftops, and you're like, I need to go do this mission thing. And then you hear this dude who's like begging for his life, and you're like, do I keep running because I'm on a mission, or do I like, you know, sidetrack to like rescue this dude. Yeah. I mean, it's surprisingly sort of like emotionally compelling in that sense too, where you really feel like kind of like, oh, fuck, like it's rough. Like I'm running around, I'm trying to fucking fight the Joker over here. Like, God, like, but I'm not going to let this dude get murdered. Like, Jesus, you know? So it's like, it is a great, great game.
I'm looking forward to it.
Go ahead with something else.
Thank you for my video game of the year. I'll put it out there. My favorite game of the year. I'm inclined to say Skyrim because it's an achievement. It is certainly an achievement in gaming. But I'm personally kind of more inclined to go for the more cohesive experience than rather than the, you know, just like here's an amazing achievement in gaming.
A huge buffet.
Right. So for that matter, I think I'm most impressed by Deus Ex Human Revolution this year. I think it comes back in ways to the original Deus Ex, but then also brings along the advances that gaming's made since then. You know, it's definitely more in the shoes of the first one rather than Invisible War, you know. It definitely changes things up. Mm-hmm. It's remarkably similar to Mass Effect 2. Which is weird because I mean they tweaked the stealth instead of just like crouching behind objects. It's like you cling to cover now and you pop your head out and you shoot. You know, so there's that, and it uses a similar dialogue system. And but
I'm really excited to play it. I got it for Christmas.
I think it's great.
Really excited for it.
It's a great game. It's great science fiction. It's everything about it.
I had no experience with the original Deus Ex. I just went into this world cold.
The original Deus Ex is amazing.
This game was also an amazing...
Yeah, it's really great.
Again, it suffers from just, like, boss fights that don't feel like they belong in the game.
Yeah.
Except for the final climactic moment it puts together everything that you've done in the game so far into one huge clusterfuck that is very, very satisfying to finally finish.
I can tell that I think that it's... I don't think I've played anything that I've had more fun with that came out this year. I mean, Skyrim's great and all, but
I mean,
it's
let's talk about Skyrim
really fucked up in some
let's
areas.
Let's talk about Skyrim, because Skyrim, again, I think it's on the short list, but I don't think it's game of the year for me.
I haven't touched Skyrim yet. I'm waiting to finish Assassin's Creed Revolutions before I do that.
How do you like that? I also got that for Christmas. And
Assassin's Creed?
It seemed like people were not very excited about it.
I don't know what people are bitching about. Like,
is it doing just basically more of the same? Because I love the other
Assassin's Creed.
So I'm really excited to play it.
So Assassin's Creed has become my favorite series of video games.
I'm pretty comfortable.
The first Assassin's Creed game was definitely flawed. It was more like a proof of concept
game.
I loved it.
I mean, I feel like it the same way I feel about Mass Effect 1.
Yeah.
When I played it, I was like, holy shit, this is great.
Yeah.
Then I played the next one, and I was like holy shit.
Yeah. Assassin's Creed 2.
They fucked that up.
Right. Like, Assassin's Creed 2, such a big step.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And Assassin's Creed Brotherhood seemed like a good refinement of Assassin's Creed 2. This is not as much of a refinement. It's more...
Brotherhood, yeah.
If you loved Brotherhood, it is just as addictive. I'm running around.
Those are games where I also feel compelled. I do every side mission I can find. Like, I beat it and then keep playing. Like,
right, like I'm running around. I'm like trying to free up these dens. I'm doing my faction quest. Oh, over there's one of the baubles I have to collect, so I might as well jump up there.
Yeah,
oh, look, now I'm in a fight. So
that's what I think Batman does an amazing job of. It sort of blends the sort of everything you loved about Arkham Asylum into sort of it basically feels like an Assassin's Creed,
which is actually
running
what
around
I thought
and
when
shit
I first
just kind of
happened. Assassin's Creed. Like after I played for maybe about an hour, I came to realization. This is the perfect system for a Batman game, minus the killing. But I mean,
I wish there was more killing in Batman. You don't kill anyone, which is great because it's really, you know, there's this whole storyline in it in the game where there's like, you know, the whole killing thing or not.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna love.
I'm
Batman.
Sure I will.
You're absolutely gonna love
Assassin's Creed Revelations is great.
Have either of you played Zelda yet?
Yes,
finished it. I just got it. I'm a bit of a ways in. I'm really impressed so far.
I was also very impressed.
Combat is way more compelling than it has been in recent Zelda games.
A huge improvement.
Yep.
I consider it the best Zelda game since Majora's Mask.
Majora's Mask? Really?
Really?
Yeah,
since Majora's Mask, huh?
Yeah, that's going back. But
Label me a heretic. I'm not a fan of Ocarina of Time.
I like it, here we go.
Link to the Past.
Let's bust this down.
Link to the
Favorite
past.
Zelda game of all time.
I think Majora's Mask. Majora's Mask is amazing. It was just so...
Without finishing Skyward.
For its time...
Yeah, like, not kind of Skyward because I haven't played it yet. But
for its time with, like, the non-linear timeline and all the different...
That was wild. No.
Hands I like down, it better than Ocarina.
Hands down favorite, Link to the Past.
Link to the Past is good. But I like Majora's Mask.
Close second, I think I'm going to go with the original Game Boy one. What was that called?
Link's Awakening.
Yeah, because you're waking up the fish in the egg. Yep. That, I think, is probably a second.
Yeah,
second
I played that one a lot.
And then I think I really, really enjoyed Wind Waker.
Wind Waker was really underrated.
I put Wind Waker right after Skyward Sword.
Hmm. Really liked Wind Waker. I mean, I don't think it's the best, but I really enjoyed Twilight Princess. I had a great time with that, too.
I did not. Twilight Princess was never really latched on to
me. It's not memorable.
Yeah, that's the biggest problem.
It's got some issues. It's not as great.
The most memorable thing about it is that you can beat Ganon by whipping out your fishing pole and waving it in front of his face. It confuses him. I'm not kidding. It works.
But Skyward Sword, like you were talking about the swordplay, is really compelling. One-to-one swordplay.
Yeah.
Yep. And they make excellent use of it with enemies that block to specific sides.
It's great.
I'm really disappointed.
Really smart.
The thing for me was that it requires Wii Plus, which I don't have because I haven't bought I loved Wii.
I think it's like a $20 accessory.
Yeah, well, the thing is, but I was going to buy a gold
Or you one. Just buy a new Wiimote and it's built in.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, but I need to buy, you know, so I need to buy the game and something else, so I just didn't get around to it yet. Because I was going to get the gold, and then it sold out, like, instantly. Because the gold came with a gold controller.
Gold
Wiimote that had it built in. I was like, oh, I'll get that. It'll be awesome. And I blew it and didn't get it. And now I'm
Didn't the
like,
Motion Plus come with a game at some point?
No.
No, the Motion Plus came with a number of games. Like, it came with, like, you know, the Wii Sports Resort and some other stuff.
Yeah.
But
so I got my classic controller. I bought Monster Hunter Tri.
Yeah, I just haven't, you know. The thing with the Wii is that, for me, it just, I haven't. Like, I love Nintendo.
I hadn't touched the Wii until Skyward Sword, and I don't anticipate touching it again.
Haven't put out a lot of good games. I mean, what's the last good game they put out that I was really excited about? I don't know, Smash Brothers or something? Like,
I think there's been stuff since that. Mario Galaxy.
Mario Galaxy 2.
Mario Galaxy 2
is the last really good game. Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. But that's fucking wild, and that's a weak track record.
It is. It's Nintendo's, like, the way they've been pigeonholed, isn't it? Like, it's just their in-house properties.
Yeah, which is interesting because they put out... I mean, I think they're the best developer.
I don't own any other consoles. I played PC games, but when it comes to console gaming, that's what I want. I want Nintendo. It's what I grew up on. I think that they do it best.
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe BioWare are my favorite developers.
Well, I get BioWare on my PC, too.
But no, but I'm saying, like, in terms of favorite developers, Nintendo is easily one of my favorite developers. I mean, it's just, you know, they really kick ass. Like, their first-party titles are amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't buy games all the time, you know, for my Wii, but, I mean, when I do buy them, they're usually the best games I've played in a very, very long time, so.
Yeah. So, speaking of BioWare, another contender for me that's sort of hard to say because it's the sort of thing that you don't really finish is Star Wars The Old Republic is awesome. It is – if you like MMOs, it's got all that shit in it. If you like Star Wars, it's very Star Wars and awesome. And if you like BioWare, it's amazing. A lot of people have made comments that I think are really telling. You know, like you find yourself, you know that you're about to fight something tough and you find yourself wanting to save because it feels like a first player RPG. The other thing too is that you feel like you're a character, that has a personality as opposed to like in Warcraft, you know, you go, who the fuck is my guy? I don't know who my guy is. Like, he's just a dude. Like, he's, well, she, I don't ever play dudes, but you know, my pink mohawk troll. You know, runs around and, you know, kills stuff and does this or that. And, like, whatever. You know, the story has some interesting stuff. You know, the overall, like, sort of lore of the universe is cool. But I'm not a character. I don't really care who I am. Whereas with Star Wars The Old Republic, like, I feel like I have a dogma. I feel like I have motivations. And I had to figure that out. You know, like any other BioWare game. Like, the same thing with, like, you know, a Dragon Age or a Mass Effect. Like, how am I? Okay, this is my character. How am I going to play this? Like, how am I going to deal with all these dialogue options? Because it has the exact same, you know, all the same dialogue options. You do fucking, you know, they call them flashpoints, and they're kind of like instances. You know, you do your sort of group event things, and it's like, you all sort of rolls to see whose dialogue gets picked and see which sort of, like, cinematics you see as you're going through the dialogues. But, you know, you're kind of picking stuff, and you're like, You know, do I want to murder this dude? Do I want to, like, let this dude go? Do I, you know, am I the kind of person that is willing to do whatever it takes? It's all about money. Or do I have a line? You know, you can decide, like, no women and no children. And I'm going to murder, you know, I'll murder dudes, like, ruthlessly. But, like, I'm not going to kill a dude's wife, you know, to get to him. But that's an option. Like, there's crazy shit in this game. Like,
I slaughtered them like animals. The women.
So yesterday.
I hate that fucking scene.
Yesterday, I was playing. Yeah. yesterday, I was playing, and I murdered a dude's wife to get him to talk to me. he was like, fuck you. Like, I'm not going to tell you, like, about
women's
this
studies, huh?
Yeah, he was like, I'm not going to tell you about this stuff. And then an option was, shoot his wife. So I shot his wife, and he was like, oh, and totally just told me everything. And then I shot him after. Clean up those loose ends. Like, I mean, it is if you like BioWare, it's amazing.
Did you kill the wife?
Yeah.
Then why the hell would he talk?
Because it was like, oh, I don't know. I scared it.
Hasn't he watched Taken? You shoot him in the kneecap.
I did that too.
God.
Yeah, it's a crazy game. Crazy game. Super fun. Super Star Wars. It's great. It's great. The mechanics of combat are also, there's a lot of really interesting, some interesting stuff. I'm playing a sniper, so I use cover the whole time. So, like, in these fights, like, I'm diving around and into cover and, like, have special abilities that I can only use when I'm in cover. And then I jump out of cover and, you know, I get little buffs because I have these, you know, different upgrades and stuff. It's a really exciting, interesting game. And I've put in a ludicrous amount of time already, which makes it really hard to deny it as probably my game of the year.
Fair enough.
Because, you know, if you just look at, like, well, what game's eating the most hours, I mean, that's probably going to be my favorite game.
If you wanted to sell it to someone who does not play MMOs and actually avoids MMOs.
Have you played Mass Effect? Did you like Mass Effect?
The first.
You didn't like the second one?
I like the gameplay of the second one. I don't like the plot of the second one. Let's not get into that kind of
one. You know, I think the plot is a little more striking. Right.
You like the game, though?
One.
I mean, the mechanics, the way you interact with the story.
Yeah, yeah.
That's, I mean,
and
that.
You mentioned Dragon Age also in that one.
Dragon Age. I mean, it is. That's what it is. I mean, it's a BioWare RPG that happens to be in, like, an MMO universe.
Like, how much do other people get involved in your shit?
Not really. I mean, the one thing that sort of MMO-ifies it is that, like, you know, obviously, like, if you, it's a persistent world.
Mm-hmm.
So, but there's things that, like,
it's more,
you know,
like a massively single player.
Yeah, I mean, really, it really does. It feels like a single player RPG.
Hmm.
You know, I played most of it with my wife sitting next to me and us doing it together. But the story, there's a really well written story. The stuff is just really fun. I mean, the thing for me is that if you're not into MMOs, buy it like any other game, play it for a month or two, and then stop. Like, play it till you get to, like, the end game where it turns into, like, way more MMO-y, and then be done with it. Or, you know, I mean, decide. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
Play it to level up to the top and do the whole main storyline and all that and hit the end, and then that's an amazing, worthwhile experience. Just, you know, and you can do it completely solo. There's some group stuff that, you know, you have to group up to do these, like, flashpoints, which are, like, sort of these, like, little side missions that are really, really, really well done. Like, the first one, you're on the ship, and you're trying to take over the ship, and you're going around the different parts of the ship, and you decide, you know, all it's great. And there's moral choices of, like, how you handle things and while you're doing this event, and but it's just, it's amazing to play through. And if you play through it and you're, like, over it after you sort of reach the point where you turn into sort of, like, the more end game, like, grinding the same kind of stuff over and over again and really, you know, working boss fights, this and that, and that's not, you're not into that, then stop and you'll have played, you know, 100 hours of an incredible RPG.
All right.
I'll give you all our info. Actually, I could tell everybody we're on the Rakata Mind Prison, Rataka. I don't know how to say it. Some stupid race. It's one of those obscure.
You see Mind Prison.
Yeah, whatever. The Rakata. It starts with an R. Rataka, Rakata, Mind Prison.
The Rakata.
The Rakata Mind
Prison. The Rakata Mind Prison.
Rataka.
Hey, we're in the Rakata Mind Prison.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm bringing a Jedi.
Yeah. And we're bad guys. Because that's the other thing, too, is that while the story is really, you know, like, it's really hard. It was really hard for me to not want to be a Jedi. Or a smuggler, Han Solo, you know?
Yeah, so
but,
I was kind of led down by a smuggler.
It's really fun to be, like, an over-the-top evil... kind of, like, it reaches, like, almost campy levels of just ridiculous, murderous craziness. I mean, just like in Mass Effect 2, the Renegade interrupts was probably the greatest invention in video game history, or in RPG video game history, where you're like, yeah, this dude's giving me shit, I'm gonna shoot him. And, like, you're just like, this dude's talking, he's like, hey, yeah, listen, man. And you're just like, boom. Like, the best. The best. So it's, like, that level of just fun. Like, you're just, especially depending on what class you are. Like, I'm an Imperial agent, which is, like, sort of like the smuggler sort of, you know, flip.
The anti-smuggler.
Yeah. Well, and you're just kind of, you work for the Empire and the government. And you're kind of like a secret agent. You know, you murder people. You do some stuff. But my moral choices are, like, do I murder this guy or do I not murder this guy? Trish is playing a Sith warrior. Her moral choices are more like, so I'm going to murder this guy. Do I chop his head off, show it to his family, and then murder all of them? Or, you know, do I not? Like, that, so her moral choices
are, doesn't sound like a choice.
Are a lot darker.
Sounds pretty obvious to me.
Well, that's the thing. It's hilarious to just murder people. Right. Like, dudes are, like, giving you quests, and you're like, you're not doing exactly what I want right now. Murdered. Like, it's ridiculous and fun. And, like, you know, I think it's the classic RPG thing where, like, some guy's like, help me save my farm. And you're like, I wish I could just kill this guy. You can. Like, you absolutely can. And it's great. I love it. It's awesome.
Cool.
Let me know if you start playing.
I'm going to see if it has any legs.
Legs. We'll get to legs. We'll get to legs later.
I feel like we've talked for like 8 fucking hours.
I did. We need to talk about comics real quick. Comics and records. Records, very quick. Favorite records of the year.
Weren't records that came out this year.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, your records are bullshit. My two favorite... I have two favorite records this year. Well, I have a favorite record. My favorite record is Cloud Nothings, self-titled record. Awesome, amazing. Brings me back to sort of like mid-90s Chicago emo scene. Very sort of Promise Ring kind of thing. It's awesome.
I like the sounds of that.
Get Up Kids, even. Yeah, okay. You know, sort of early, like the first Get Up Kids 7-inch, maybe.
Yep.
That vibe. My favorite 7-inch this year is Kingdom's Threads. It's awesome. Just super heavy, goony hardcore. Vegan straight edge ridiculousness. Bonus points that in our, you know, this is our sexist episode, so I'll go there, that the singer is just so hot it makes me angry. Yeah, like, I don't even know, it's crazy. But they're great, and she's awesome and says a lot of great stuff, and 7-inch is great. And then my favorite single of the year is Britney Spears, Till the World Ends. Really good.
Yeah.
Shocked. I'm shocked that in 2011, we're still talking about Britney Spears' music.
Never thought that would happen.
Yeah, not just like her murdering someone or something.
Well, if you want me to bust out with my picks,
yeah,
which
do
are
it.
Embarrassing by your standards.
It's not embarrassing, they're just not good.
Did you listen to
it? I didn't listen to the Decemberists record.
I didn't think you would.
I Stole Your Thunder. I didn't get to it. I was actually gonna. I was gonna.
Well, I think...
I actually think I dig it.
Yeah.
I just didn't get around to
think
it.
That would probably have to be it. I mean, I'm a kind of big Decemberist fan in the first place, but I think The King Is Dead is probably the album I listen to the most. It's it goes down easy, you know. I mean, it's like I like the Decemberists, and it kind of goes back to what they were doing before they went on these crazy, long-winded prog experimental sort of things that they had been doing. So back to, you know, simple, basic, genuine, you know, folky. Indie rock songs. I like it.
I will say that your other nominee...
The Get Up Kids album? You didn't like that?
The only good thing about that Get Up Kids record
yeah.
is that it reminded me, oh, geez, I should really listen to 4 Minute Mile and Woodson some more.
You know what? I appreciate it that the band has no interest in going back to what they once were.
But they also have no interest in being interesting.
I found it interesting enough.
It's just boring, generic, like, rock.
Yeah.
Favorite record... Drew Brees throwing for more yards in a season than Dan Marino.
All right.
Well, he, you know,
sports.
Okay, sure. Although I think that like records that came out this year, I'm gonna have to go with the Smashing Pumpkins reissues.
It's good.
The Gish and Siamese Dream. They're fucking brilliant albums to begin with. And they sound perfect now, and the bonus discs are cool. And
bonus dicks, really?
Discs. That I said discs, you fucking ass.
I
and tits.
Heard dicks.
I heard discs.
I heard discs.
You got it on tape.
Discs.
Bonus dicks.
All dicks are bonus.
The bonus discs. Yeah. And the Siamese Dream DVD is really fucking cool, too.
Awesome. So. Comics.
Comics. Real quick.
Louis C.K.
All right. I like what you're doing with this. Let's
bucking the system. This is very, very rough.
Yeah.
For me, it's Skull Kickers.
All right.
It's great. It's a now continuing series. It's sort of like a tongue in cheek fantasy adventure comic that sort of manages to be like a good fantasy adventure comic, but also make a lot of goofy jokes and just kind of not necessarily goofy. Just you know, it doesn't take itself super seriously. You know, it's genuinely funny, but also genuinely adventurous and, you know, tells fun fantasy stories. It's great.
I've seen it. It looks cool.
Yeah, it's great.
For me, kind of going to cheat here, split it into two, because I read a shit ton of comics, so I feel like I have the, you know, the authority to do that.
Yeah.
Superhero, you know, standard superhero stuff, Detective. Scott Snyder's run on Detective this year before DC rebooted, which is actually something I've been really enjoying. But anyways, his Detective run is absolutely brilliant. I think it's coming out in trade pretty soon. It's called Black Mirror. If you like Batman, and if, I mean, like, who doesn't like Batman? Read it. It's really, really good. And I think it's going to be one of the Batman stories that we talk about when we talk Batman now.
I'm really looking forward to it coming
really
out in trade.
Really fucking good.
Because I don't buy issues anymore.
Yeah. It's a graphic novel collection that came out this year. Critical Millennium. It's by the same people who put out Mouse Guard.
Okay.
Only it's definitely a mature reader's title.
David Alv something?
No. It's not the same guy, but it's the same publisher.
Same publisher, okay.
No. This guy, the guy that wrote it, he's written things for pretty much every Rockstar game, actually.
Okay.
And the artwork is absolutely gorgeous. It's a science fiction story. It takes place in the year 6000, basically. And the setup is incredibly familiar where, you know, the Earth is dying and we need to get off of it, you know, but not everyone believes that it's dying. And, you know, it's kind of like our greed is keeping us back from ever leaving and doing what needs to get done. But upon reading it, I mean, there's some pretty profound things I think I've discovered about the time that we live in now that I'm incredibly embarrassed by. I think, you know, it brings things to light that I hadn't really thought about before. I think culture is truly dead.
All right.
It makes us, I mean, like, our culture that we have now is making us dumb.
Okay.
It's making us stupid.
I'm glad to be a part of that.
That book fully illustrates that
titties and
our failure in the future is happening now. And
all right.
It's not in the ways that we always associate our failure going.
Speaking of, another thing that I'll throw out there is just continuing its run of being really great is Walking Dead.
Yeah.
This year's Walking Dead is great. The stuff that's come out this year. Let's talk about some favorite holiday memories. What do you got?
We want to talk about gaming memories, right?
Yes. Well, you know, just in general, anything really good. I mean, for me, I'll start out here. One of my favorites, we watched a bunch of Christmas home movies this year and reminded me of some stuff. So one is that the year that I got Nintendo Entertainment System, original NES, I saw it in the trunk by accident. I was not a kid that looked for presents or anything like that, but my grandfather opened his trunk to put our swimming stuff in after swim lessons, and there was a Nintendo in the trunk, just right in the middle of the trunk. And I was like, oh, how about that? Then on Christmas morning, we did Christmas or whatever. There's video of this. Maybe I'll be able to rip it and put it on the site. I look great, by the way.
Of course. Very cool.
My mom's like, oh, were you excited? Were you surprised to get Nintendo? And I was like, no. And she's like, well, why not? And I was like, because I saw it in the trunk. And she's like, oh, well, I mean, were you surprised when you saw it in the trunk? I was like, no, I knew I was going to get it. Apparently I was a dick.
Yeah.
Your favorite Christmas memory is being a dick?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not surprised.
There's also actually my favorite Christmas memories are me winking at my mom. Because my sister, like, I figured out Santa when I was like four. And my sister, like, didn't figure it out until much later. I mean, she's younger, but she didn't figure it out until much later. And so there were a number of years there where I'd, like, read the letter from Santa, and I would just be, like, a real dick about it. And, like, I'd be reading – there's all this video of me reading these letters from Santa like a dick. Like, oh, Santa says – you know, like, and I'm like, oh, yeah. And my sister's like, ooh. And I'm, like, looking at my mom. I'm like, yeah, this sounds like somebody I know, you know. It's great. It's good.
I think my – favorite Christmas memory was I'd have been like 5 or maybe 6, probably 5. So I woke up, you know, in my bed. It's Christmas Eve.
Usually,
right?
Where you wake,
okay,
up, right?
Yeah, typically where I wake up. And
hit the eggnog pretty hard.
This is before I could tell time. So I go out in the living room and I see all the shit under the tree. And it's just, it's fucking fantastic. I mean, it's like, I think it was the year that the first Batman movie came out. So, like, I don't know what was going on financial-wise with my parents at that time, but holy shit, if it had Batman on it, like, we got it. We got it. I mean, like, we got, they pulled out all the stops on the Batman stuff. So, I mean, there's like, a jaw-dropping amount of stuff under the tree, and I'm like freaking out, and I can't tell time, and I'm fucking, I go to my parents' bedroom, I'm like, guys, you gotta wake up, it's Christmas, and there's no response, and I'm like, alright, I'm gonna get started without you. So I go out and I just start pulling out random shit from under the tree, and like the first thing I pull out is like some toy truck. I'm like, oh, bummer, this sucks. So then the next thing I pull out, I unwrap. I start unwrapping presents by myself. I'm like, I'll tell them later I got this, you know? So I unwrap a Ghostbusters pinball machine.
Ooh.
I mean, like one of those tabletop ones. Yep. Yeah. I immediately pulled that thing out of the box and, like, put the batteries in and started playing with it, and it's making a fuck ton of noise. My mom comes out. What are you doing? I'm like, I'm unwrapping my Christmas gifts. She's like, it's 1:30 in the morning. Go back to bed. And so I did. And then I woke up, and after like fucking 4 hours of opening gifts, because, I mean, there was a lot of shit, I couldn't find any of the shit that I unwrapped earlier in the morning. They hid it on me.
Well, toy
then
truck
later on, right? Was like, are you looking for this? They were kind of pissed that I did that, but, you know, whatever. And I say it's Christmas. It's fucking Christmas. Get out of bed.
You gotta, yeah,
I could tell time.
Did you not have
you could tell time?
I could tell time when I was young. So, and the rule was no waking the parents until 7 a.m., which is torture.
Yeah, when absolutely. Because you don't sleep.
No, you wake up at 4:30. Yeah. You, like, crack a dawn. You're like, okay, time to get up. You know, just get everything ready. Yeah. You know, put all the Christmas presents in different piles so you know how much shit you got and how much shit your sister got.
Yeah.
You know, like, and that takes a good 15 minutes. So now it's 4:45.
Yeah.
So,
well, then you start doing things loudly. You're just like, oh, I'm going to go to the bathroom. And you're like, you slam the door. And you're like, I'm going to flush the toilet 20 times. So man, see, that was rough.
You see, we were not all dicks growing up, Matt. I did what any budding gamer does. He ropes his sister into playing a game. I had the old Battlemasters with the large, three by four foot mat that you had to put on the board. And you have the cannon tokens. It is the only time my sister would ever play Battlemasters, but she also would be waking up at 4:30 in the morning and have there's shit else to do. There's nothing on TV, right? So, playing Battlemasters.
They didn't show A Christmas Story for 24 hours straight back then.
There were 4 channels.
Yeah.
So we played Battlemasters. That bouncing cannonball gave us a lot of, well, not quite the level of joy, but enough distraction to get us through to 6:30, at which point we considered rounding up to 7.
Yeah, it's close enough. Close enough, right? I mean, listen, parents. You're going to look back on these as some of the fondest memories of your life. So,
yeah.
So enjoy it. Make the most of it. You should be excited that we were excited about Christmas. True.
That's what it's all about. Our excitement.
Predictions. Last thought. So to close out this podcast, this holiday special, let's make some predictions for next year.
All right.
I'm gonna call my video game of the year, and I'm gonna call my movie of the year. Definitely. So movie of the year is gonna be The Hobbit. Video game of the year is gonna be Mass Effect 3.
I'm gonna make a political prediction.
Okay.
Ridiculous political prediction. Is the new Batman movie coming out this year?
Yes.
Yes.
I predict that someone, I'm not saying which side of the aisle, but someone will make the ridiculous claim that Hollywood is trying to associate Bane Capital, Mitt Romney's old place, with bad guys because of Bane being the bad guy in the new Batman.
Because people are stupid.
Yeah.
Well, basically what you're saying.
Did you hear, there was a big, you know, sort of like Republican kerfluffle over the Muppets.
Yep.
Because apparently the Muppets are all communists.
Well, because right? The bad guy was a rich oil tycoon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But really, I mean, who closes down Muppet theaters to drill for oil? Rich oil. Yeah. You know, like, I mean, come on. Like,
yeah,
like,
yeah, program,
like,
yeah.
Like,
it happens.
Like, he's not going to be a hippie. No. Like, oh, nope. This hippie wants to buy Muppet Studios and close it down. Like,
no, well, he isn't.
Like, no, it's not going to happen.
No.
Like,
no, he wants to hang out with fucking Dr. Yeah. Teeth in the electric bay. Yeah.
this hippie's going to get high and hang out with Kermit. Like, yeah. Oh, no. Like, well, that's not a problem. Like, the Muppets are totally down. Yeah. Like, so, you know, you got, yeah, whatever. Any other predictions?
My predictions... I think I can make a movie and video game one. I don't know what the hell's coming out this year for games.
Board games? I mean, it's a hard
game. It doesn't. Yeah. I mean, it's not like movies and video games.
But they don't. There's not the same priming period.
No. I'll probably say Mass Effect 3 as well. And for movie, I'm gonna probably say Dark Knight Rises.
I think that's a safe bet that I'll feel comfortable and not feel the need to argue with you about. I mean, again, it gets to what our particular super nerderies
are. Yeah, I mean, like,
about.
You know.
Is there a doubt that Dark Knight and Hobbit are going to be 1A and 1B?
No.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be amazing. Like, no doubt.
Yeah.
They're both going to be great.
Yeah. I think I can throw Avengers maybe somewhere in there.
Avengers
is going to be great.
I'm very hopeful of it being
great. I'm very hopeful.
Yeah. Avengers and...
The trailer's amazing.
And Prometheus.
Prometheus, the trailer did not excite me.
Can't wait. I can't wait for Prometheus.
Prometheus looked like a Halo cutscene. I don't know. It didn't really get me.
Alien is back. Ridley Scott's behind it.
Yeah, Ridley Scott. When's the last time Ridley Scott made a good movie?
Gladiator.
Gladiator was pretty good. But that was okay, what, 5 movies ago?
I think he's made decent movies since, but
okay.
I don't think he's
yeah,
made
so a decent movie is not
great
gonna be
movies.
A decent movie is not going to be movie of the year.
No, but I'm excited about Prometheus. But
I mean, I'll probably go
I think Avengers holds a better chance to sneaking its way in there. But I don't think that it can. I just don't think there's any way that The Hobbit and Dark Knight Rises are going to be bad.
Mm-hmm. No,
I don't think they're going to. Especially given, it's impossible for them to be anything short of great.
Well, and the thing is, the pedigree. Like both of those, we know the people behind it,
exactly.
What they're doing. So
yep.
It's not even like, oh, I love these stories or I love these characters. It's like Christopher Nolan gets Batman, he's not going to fuck it up.
Right.
It's Peter Jackson gets Lord of the Rings universe, he's not going to fuck it up.
Yeah.
Like you kind of know what you're going to get.
Right.
And it's going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. The only hesitance I'd have towards The Hobbit is the fact that it's just a part one.
Which is interesting. You know, it's going to be interesting. It may not be as great as it could be, but again, that's going to get into like, well, it's still the best movie of the year.
Yeah,
it's
going to be great, but
perfect.
I don't think it'll kind of, you won't feel any catharsis out of it.
I don't think that it can be told in the period of time that, you know.
I think they can make it better. I mean, making it 2 movies, I think, is a bold decision that speaks to them wanting to make it awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to see 2 movies worth of it.
Yeah.
I just don't know if the first one by itself
is going
to
be. Yeah.
Although I don't know because I mean the Fellowship of the Ring. Like
Fellowship
when
was
I saw
great.
That, my dick was hard for an entire year.
I think a lot will depend on where and how they decide to cut.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think Bjornicorn. They cut over there. It'll be good. I think that's where they'll cut.
That's a fine. That's a fine place you can cut out.
But I think it's just I mean, it's, you know.
Yeah.
And then the next year when you can go see them both, you know, one after the other, that's going
to
be great.
That's the way to see it. Yeah.
It's going
to
be great.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Best movie experience I've ever had in my life was Trilogy Tuesday, Return of the King premiere. You got to see the extended editions of the first 2 before it. It was a giant party. Everyone was dressed up. It was nuts. Movie theater ordered pizzas for everyone. Like, it was great. Great.
Did they call it Lembus?
No, they just called it pizza. But it was free. They ordered free pizza for everyone. I mean, the movie theater was just excited about everyone being there. Like, they didn't make money on it. Like, it was just...
Your ass is in a seat for how many hours?
Yeah, I mean, it was amazing.
12?
Yeah. 14. Please,
14. 14. 14, yeah.
I didn't give a fuck. It was one of the best days of my life. So be sure to check us out on the internet at fortressat.com. It's an internet website that features discussion, reviews, all that kind of stuff. I curse a
dick
lot.
Jokes.
Dick jokes. A lot of dick jokes. Also, follow us on Twitters. Are you on the Twitters, Josh?
I refuse.
Yeah, follow me on the Twitters, at Real Matt Loader.
At Octavian X, can I plug?
Yeah, go for it. Go for it.
At Octavian X, and yeah. Also at Board Game Geek.
Yeah, check out the Board Game Geek. If you're listening to this, it's really fucking impossible that you've never heard of it and aren't a member there already. So, you know, like, unless you're my mom, in which case, like, hey, thanks for listening, Mom. Sorry about all the dick jokes. Also, if you want to send us a listener emails, we didn't cover any in the holiday special here, but make sure that you send us your questions, comments, whatevers to fatcast69@gmail.com.
Hope we can figure out the password.
Yeah, I forgot the password, but I'll remember it at some point. So, yeah, send us some messages, and thanks for listening.
You've been listening to FatCast. You can find us on the web at fortressat.com.
Yeah, that's good enough.
All right. Well, you need some. Because it's the
something.
Two. It's the two Robert Goulets. Right. We need to have a conversation with ourselves.
Hello, Robert Goulet.
Hi, Robert Goulet.
Happy holidays, Robert Goulet.
Happy holidays, Robert Goulet.
And a happy new year to you, Robert Goulet.
And a happy new year.
That's why I always come here. New Year's.
Wow, Robert Goulet. Do you think you could sing a song for us?
Maybe we can. Did somebody say dicks?
Tits.
Better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout, 'cause I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list. He's checking it twice. He's gonna find out who's naughty or nice. Santa Claus is coming. And he sees you when you're sleeping, and he knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good, for goodness sake. You better watch out, you better not cry, you better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. And I'm not kidding here when I tell you, watch out, he's checking that list. I've seen it. Santa Claus is coming to town. You better watch out, you better not cry, you better not cry. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming.
fat man with a long white beard. He's coming to town.